This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me. As always, we are about 5 weeks away from the NFL draft. Free agency has quieted down. Couple signings here or there, nothing too significant since we spoke last week, where I broke down my thoughts on how free agency had impacted the draft, the top of the draft potentially. I gave my thoughts on every single major significant move in free agency. So if you missed that and what my takes in terms of dynasty value for all the players that changed teams, other guys impacted by it, or what I think free agency may have done to mix up our initial thoughts on how the early portion of the NFL draft might go, top 10, top 12, go back and listen to last week's episode. But what we're doing today, we did the quarterback tiers and rankings before the combine, because I kind of thought the combine wasn't really going to move the needle too much with my quarterback rankings and tiers. I don't really expect that to change the rest of the way. My rankings and my tiers for the quarterbacks, I think, are pretty status quo. My only debate continues to be at QB2 between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I flip-flop between them two, but those ranks and tiers are pretty much set in stone. But I wanted to let the combine come and go, more time to watch film, more time to digest what happened at the combine, and just more time to dig into these prospects before we went back to the tier busters and went back to my tiers and rankings. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're going back to the tier buster series, and we're going to talk about the 2024 running back class. I'll share my tiers. I'll talk about what constitutes our exclusive S to S tiers that we created years ago that combined our film eval on these guys, NFL draft projection, fantasy slash dynasty fantasy value, all kind of wrapped into one to make these exclusive tiers here at Saturday to Sunday. I'll talk about who's in my tiers. I'll talk about these running back prospects in terms of their traits and things that really stand out about these guys. So I'll kind of have you covered wire to wire. And I think it's one of the most fascinating running back groups that maybe we could ever remember since I've been doing this at Saturday to Sunday and long before just as a fan of the NFL draft. I can't remember a positional group where there's more uncertainty, even at the top of the class. You ask 20 different draft evaluators, from major draft media to draft Twitter to just fantasy player who starts picking up on these prospects. You ask anybody, who's your top five running backs? I'm not sure anybody in the 20 people you survey would have the same five guys. And the odds of, if you do, finding them in the same order would be close to zero. In the past, we've always had who the top running backs were. There wasn't much debate in terms of 1 and 2 or 1, 2, and 3. It usually would start after that. This draft class, I think you can make the case that there can be 5, 6, 7 guys that somebody have at number one. And if you start stretching it out to top five, you might have 12 different names on your top five that could be in somebody's top five. So you add that into the fact. You add to the fact that I don't think there's a top 50 prospect in this draft class. I think we're talking late second round before any of these running backs come off the board. While some of them have three down skill sets, I think they're going to be more part of committees at the next level for most of them. Do they handle the heavier part of the committee? Or they're a part of the committee? Are they a specialized player? It's really going to be pick your choice and what you want. Do you want the big play guy, the bigger, more physical interior runner? Do you want the space player? Do you want the third down back? Do you want the guy who could, you know, do a little bit of everything, but doesn't maybe have an elite trait or an elite calling card? So I think it's a really fascinating class. I think it's a class that needs a lot of discussion and nuance in terms of ranking them. I think what the running back position, some people really value like vision and patience. Other people value like missed tackle rates. Other people contact balance, play strength, picking up extra yards like that leg drive, physicality, toughness to break tackles. Some people want a guy who's a weapon out of the backfield in terms of pass catching. So there's so many different areas that kind of dictate how somebody might rank running backs. So I think based on what traits you find most important, there's a strong likelihood that that probably would impact how you have these guys ranked in terms of top three, top five, top 10. And I think that's what makes it a really interesting talking point, because how I have them ranked is going to be very different than someone else or somebody else. And I don't think it's I'm right, someone else is wrong. I think everybody has their own takes and what they look for at the running back position. So like when I get some guests on in the industry prior to the NFL draft, it's going to be fun talking about this running back class, because something that I might value, someone might value a little bit less, and they might be looking for something different. And that's kind of the fun of this. So let's get into it. Again, always like to kind of read out the tiers. So let's start there. What makes up a tier one running back for us here at Saturday Sunday is this. So a tier one running back is a potential round one or early round two NFL draft selection, a top six dynasty rookie pick, a day one starter. Many traits are above average, with at least one being rare to elite. These players should be the focal point of the run game, with the ability to contribute in the passing game. Who makes up my tier one? Nobody. It's the first time since doing Saturday to Sunday that I do not have a tier one running back. We keep these tiers consistent from year to year. So we don't automatically just have guys in tier one just to say this is our tier one running back. We want to be able to keep it consistent year to year. I don't think there is a round one or early round two running back in this NFL draft. I don't think there's a top six dynasty rookie pick in this draft. I don't think there's an immediate plug and play day one starter lead a backfield like Bijan Robinson last year, or you know, Breece Hall, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs is obviously with David Montgomery, but Kenneth Walker. I don't think that exists here. We don't have that in this draft class. So there's no tier one running backs for me. There's nobody I think warrants going in the first round, and I don't even think there's anybody that warrants going in the top part of round two. First time it's ever happened that we've had zero tier one running backs. Usually there's somebody I think warrants an early second round pick, if not a round one pick. Like last year, obviously, Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs were tier one running backs all day. Even Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker, tier one running backs. Even if I might not think they were round one guys, I thought they were early round two guys. So no tier one running back. So that kind of keeps us moving right into what makes up our tier two running backs. A tier two running back for us is a guy that we think is a mid-round two to mid-round three selection. So we might start seeing these guys around the 50, pick 50 mark. And maybe right to the middle of round three, pick 80, pick 85, somewhere around there. We think for fantasy, your dynasty rookie drafts, it could be a mid-round one to early round two dynasty rookie pick. Obviously, super flex settings impact that for sure. But that's where I think we're talking about these tier two running backs. You give me a running back that goes at like early mid-round two, they probably are around mid to late early round one. I mean, mid to late round one dynasty rookie pick. They're going in the middle of round three, probably a late round one or to mid, you know, round two dynasty rookie pick. We think they're a lead running, they have the upside to be a lead running back in a committee. Several traits are above average to very good. These players can and should contribute immediately to the run game and have the capacity to contribute and be a factor in the passing game as well. There are or may be some concerns about their ability to be a three down back at the next level. So when I look at this draft class, I think this is the sweet spot where we start talking about having a handful of guys in the tier two mix for what we constitute a tier two running back. So for me, tier two is made up of these players, and these are my current overall running back rankings. First tier two running back is Trey Benson out of Florida State. Next up is Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Third is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Fourth is Blake Corum out of Michigan. And fifth is Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. Those are my top five backs right now. I don't think I'm coming off of that. I debated between Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd at the 4-5 spot. That was the hardest one inside of this tier. I think I'm pretty locked in to my top three being Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, and Jalen Wright. And I feel pretty good about a little bit of a drop-off after my top five of having Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd in there before a drop-off to the third tier that I'll get to momentarily. So what is it about these guys that I like? Let's start with Trey Benson, who was my number one running back last summer, and nothing has changed about Trey Benson. I love the size and the frame. He tested out as a great athlete. I thought on film he had good athleticism, movement skills, burst, and acceleration. Then he went to the combine and ran a 4.39, which was unbelievable. I was expecting more of like a 4.48 for Trey Benson and would have been happy with it at his size. So we're talking about a guy who I think plays with good play speed, good athleticism, but tested out as a great athlete. I love the contact balance. The ability to him pick up yards after contact, to make people miss even at his size in short space, in short area. I love the play strength, the power, the toughness. He's got good agility and elusiveness to make people miss. Some inconsistent vision and patience, some indecisiveness at times. I think he can run a gap or power zone scheme. He's my number one running back. Jonathan Brooks, obviously coming off the torn ACL. Will he be ready for the start of the season? Will he not? I think there's some inconsistent play strength issues and some inconsistent vision at times. But we're talking about a guy, good size and frame, very good athleticism, speed, burst, acceleration. He can make people miss, really good cutting ability, good footwork, change of direction skills, got a good receiving background as well, runs with good toughness. I'm not sure the play strength and the power and the physicality are there. I think he's got a three-down skill set. I don't think he's a three-down guy who could carry the ball 20, 25 times ever in a game, but I do think he's got a three-down skill set. If it wasn't for the torn ACL, I think I'd feel pretty confident thinking that he's going to be the first running back taken. But I think the door is now open for my number one, which is Trey Benson, because of that torn ACL. And then my third running back, who I talked about is locked in, is Jalen Wright. Great athleticism, good size and frame. Got really good speed, great burst and acceleration. He's got a great jump cut ability. He's got agility and change of direction skills. He's got play strength. He's a very good receiver. He's got a three-down skill set. At times, some inconsistent vision and patience. He's had some ball security issues in the past. He's got to be cognizant of his running with good pad level. Sometimes I think that not always the best in terms of that. But explosive, explosive player. I think he's more north-south than east-west. I think he does have the lateral quickness to get to the perimeter, but once he gets perimeter, we're talking turning upfield and using that acceleration and burst. So there's things about Jalen Wright that I think are really intriguing. I love the three-down potential. I think there's a possibility late round two, we see Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson, and then somewhere in that late round two to mid round three, we possibly see Jalen Wright. And then the two guys I debated in this tier were Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd. Now, Blake Corum is one of those guys, undersized running back with a compact frame. He's got good play speed, good athleticism, short area quickness. He's got very good footwork, lateral quickness, agility, change direction skills, elusiveness, and cutting ability. But his bread and butter is his vision, his patience, combined that with his receiving capabilities. He's not flashy. He's quicker than fast. His size and going to impact pass protection potentially at the next level. I think obviously he's coming off a major injury the year before. But I like Blake Corum a lot. I think his calling card, again, If you love Blake Corum, if you love vision and patience, natural run instincts, if those are your calling cards at the running back position, then Blake Corum's probably sitting at number one or two for you on this list. He just doesn't have the physical traits of some of the guys who I had above him. But I do really like his game a lot. I think he'll be a round three pick. And then Marshawn Lloyd, who I was a little slow to come around on until I really got into more of his film. There's some inconsistency in terms of his vision. But really good athleticism, explosiveness, speed, burst, acceleration, and short area quickness. He's got good play strength and contact balance. He runs with very good tempo. And that's one of the best traits of Marshawn Lloyd. He varies his run tempo. He's got good receiving skills. He's got a three-down skill set in the committee backfield as well. Daniel Jeremiah has been talking about he could be the first RB off the board. I don't think Daniel Jeremiah is pulling that out of nowhere. I think that's what he's hearing from NFL teams. So if I was going right now on just natural projecting, I wouldn't be surprised if Marshawn Lloyd goes ahead of either Trey Benson or Jalen Wright, maybe even Jonathan Brooks. I think he's in the mix there. So that makes up my tier two, but those also are my top five running backs in this class. If we go to tier three is guys that I consider late round three. So maybe they sneak into the latter part of the top 100. Late round three, Peru, the first day of day three, which is round four. So this is like spanning kind of from like, I don't know, pick 90, pick 100, to like the middle, to the end of round four, which is probably like pick 140 when you throw in the compensatory picks. In fantasy, I think these are round two to early round three dynasty rookie picks. They're committee, they're running backs that are looked to be a part of a committee with upside. Some traits are above average to good. These players offer a competitive advantage as runners or as pass catchers. These players could emerge into even bigger roles of the backfield by the end of year one or year two. Volume, this is the sweet spot of the NFL draft. And I think we're going to see that also. But I've already been on record. We might have no running backs in the first two rounds. Then I would expect some in round three. Do all five of my guys who I talked about already, is it possible that they all go in round three? Probably. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we only had three or four running backs go in the first 2 days of the draft. And some guys maybe fall. But even if they don't, the latter part of round three and then day three, round four, I think you're going to see a lot of running backs. I think you're going to see a lot of teams maneuver around in round four and say, okay, we have this guy as the third best running back in the class or the fifth or sixth best running back in the class. We're going to move around in day three, round four. We're going to go get our guy. I think a lot of running backs are going to come off the board in round four or the latter part of round three because there's going to be people saying we're going to get our third ranked or fourth or fifth ranked running back, even though this might be this the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth running back coming off the board. For me, my tier three looks like this. I have Will Shipley out of Clemson, my sixth overall, first in tier three. I have Ray Davis, my seventh running back overall, second in this tier out of Kentucky. Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Isaac Arendo out of Louisville. Audric Esteme out of Notre Dame. And Bucky Irvin out of Oregon. So that's seven guys in this group, okay? Seven guys in this group, plus the five I had in the previous tier. That's 12 guys. Do I think 12 running backs are coming off the board by the end of round four? No, that seems a little rich. So some of these guys I just talked about will probably fall to round five. I liked Eric Gray last year. I think some of the NFL liked him. He fell to round five last year when the Giants took him. So some of these guys are going to fall to round five. But these are the guys that I think are intriguing enough to be somewhere selected between late in round three through round four. And truth be told, I'm not sure any of these guys go late round three because I don't even know if the top five guys I had above them go by the end of round three. So I think all these guys I just listed, I think they're all probably more day three running backs, but I think they should come off the board somewhere in round four, and I'm expecting a little bit of a run. If I go through a couple of these guys, Will Shipley had a really good pro day. He's got very good athleticism, movement skills, speed. He's got acceleration and burst. I love the footwork, the change of direction, the ability to make people miss. Good vision and patience, really, really good receiving skills. I think he's going to profile as a change of pace committee, pass catching running back, but a guy who can do a little bit of everything at the next level. There's some play strength and power workload limitations, but I really like Will Shipley. Feel like the NFL is sleeping, or draft Twitter, I should say, is sleeping on him a little bit, but I'm a fan. Ray Davis, a little bit of an older prospect, but while undersized, great compact frame, the athleticism and movement skills, I would say are probably just average, but he's got really good play strength for a guy his size, contact balance, power, leg drive, runs with a good pad level, he's a good receiving back, he's got a three-down skill set to be part of a committee backfield. There's some inconsistencies in terms of his vision and patience, but I like Ray Davis's game. He's going to be a guy that's not going to be flashy, but he's just going to be really productive at the next level. And that's something that I think we've seen him really be a guy that I think finds ways without like elite athletic traits, but to be really good in terms of just picking up yards, constantly fighting for extra yards. I think that's going to be Ray Davis at the next level. Next guy in this tier was Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue. Talked a little bit about him before the combine. I dug into his film since. I came away really impressed with Tyrone Tracy Jr. Very good high-end athleticism. Great speed, great burst, great acceleration. He's got agility, change of direction. But he's got good play strength too. He's got great receiving skills. He's a versatile offensive weapon as a receiver, runner, and a returner. He's not going to be a guy who's going to carry the workload as your running back. That's just not him. But in terms of what he offers as a versatile offensive weapon, this guy you can run real routes with. He's a dynamic pass catcher, and he's got home run speed on the outside. He's a big play waiting to happen. I think teams are going to be very intrigued adding this type of explosiveness somewhere on the early portion of day three. Is he a complete back? No. His inconsistent vision, his inconsistent natural run instincts and patience, that's not his bread and butter right now. But I really came away impressed with Tyrone Tracy. I think the league's going to like him a lot more than maybe, say, Draft Twitter does. Braylon Allen, I know Draft Twitter likes him. To me, I have some concerns. I've always had concerns about Braylon Allen. The straight line speed is good for a big guy, but to me, he doesn't offer much in the pass game. He's going to need a runway to get going. He's not going to make you miss, but he's got great play strength. He can get north-south in a hurry. He's physical. He's tough. If you have a good offensive line, he could be a great power runner in that type of offense. So I like Braylon Allen, but I don't like him like some people do. And I don't think he ever lived up to the potential. And I could even see myself moving him a little bit further down this tier too before I give my final rankings a little closer to draft night. Next up is Isaac Garendo out of Louisville. He's another guy I talked about before the combine. And then he went out and ran a 4.340. Got great to elite level athleticism, movement skills, speed, burst, acceleration. He's got play strength, toughness, and physicality. He's got receiving capabilities as well. Really intriguing player that I think is going to be a guy that probably starts out as a depth running back and a role player, but I think a guy who could work his way into a part of a committee. I think he's more north-south than he is change of direction, agility, stuff like that. I think there's some inconsistent vision and patience, but we're talking about an explosive athlete, good play strength, good toughness, receiving capabilities, good in pass protection, a lot to like about Isaac Garendo's game. Audric Estemi, we know the power's there. We know the vision is there. We know the toughness, physicality, contact balance, leg drive. Ran a really poor 40 time. Today was his pro day. The reported time was like a 4.58. A lot of people kind of disputing that on Twitter, though. Let's just say it's in the 4.6s somewhere. He is who he is. He had some breakaway plays in college. I don't think that's going to be what he is at the next level. But I do think he's a guy who has good short area quickness and burst. He's got very good play strength, power, physicality, great contact balance and leg drive. Picks up average extra yards constantly. But he's not going to make you miss. He's not going to run away from you. Not going to create missed tackles. He might create extra yards with his physicality and toughness. But I think Audrey Gassemi is a guy who you're going to see somewhere on the early portion of day parade. And then the last guy in this tier is Bucky Irving. And I don't know what to do with Bucky Irving. Great vision and patience. Great receiving back. Runs tough for his size. But he's a small back who tested out as a poor athlete. I think his play speed and quickness is a lot better on game film than it is in the combine. But for every Kyren Williams, there's like 25 guys who had that profile who basically couldn't make it in the NFL, nor ever even got an opportunity. So Bucky Irving, I think, starts out, I'm not sure he makes it in the first four rounds. I think he probably is one of those guys that falls to round five. But I do think he's a really good receiver, and he's really good natural run instincts, vision and patience, and that's going to be his calling card. His pass receiving right now is going to be his calling card. And then maybe does he work that into a bigger role down the line and show that impactfulness that he had at Oregon? So those are the guys that make up my tier parade. If we take this to my tier four, let's first talk about who's in tier four. Tier four is round five or round six selections in the NFL draft. Round three to round four dynasty rookie picks. Lesser part of a committee or a handcuff. Several solid traits. These players have a complementary skill set that could develop into a specialized role or a lesser part of a committee in the future, and are capable of leading the backfield and maintaining the integrity of the offense if called upon due to injuries. Who makes up my tier four? Rasheen Ali out of Marshall, Jace McClellan out of Alabama, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State, Cody Schrader out of Missouri, and Dylan Lobb out of New Hampshire. I've talked a lot about Rasheen Ali. Rasheen Ali is a guy that I like more than most. I think he's one of the best receiving backs in this class. So right off the bat, to me, he's a really intriguing complementary running back that has a breakdown skill set and a really good receiving back. Got injured, though, at the Senior Bowl. I think that's going to hurt his draft stock a little bit with most of 2022 within the injury. Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State, obviously small school. I don't think he's going to do a lot in terms of stop-start acceleration, or I don't think he's going to make people miss. Not a lot of change of direction, but very good vision and patience, good footwork, really good play strength, power, toughness, contact balance. He's got good receiving skills. He's got three down running back skill set, but I think he's part of a committee or a depth guy who can work his way up. Cody Schrader out of Missouri. Talked about him a lot on the in-season podcast because he just kept putting up monster week after monster week. Not going to be a guy who wows you with his long speed, his explosiveness, his make-you-miss ability, change of direction, that stuff. But he's got really good play strength, toughness, physicality. He's got good vision and patience, natural run instincts. Can hold up in pass protection. Can be functional in catching the football. So he's got a three-down skill set as a reserve. So I think he could be another guy that gets drafted somewhere around five, round six, and it's kind of an intriguing skill set. Dylan Lobb. Talked about him during the All-Star Circuit. Small school running back out of New Hampshire. Obviously, play strength, power, physicality, that's not his game. As an athlete, he's only an average athlete in speed. But I love the movement skills, the footwork, the short area quickness, the ability to make people miss in short space, in small spaces. And his calling card is the great receiving skills. Versatile offensive weapon as a runner, receiver, and returner. So two of the guys I talked about in this tier, Rasheen Ali, I think he's bread and butter, is his receiving ability, but I think he's a more natural runner for sure than Dylan Lobb. And then Dylan Lobb, his calling card is his versatility and how good he is as a receiver. That's what's going to get him drafted somewhere around five or round six and really intrigue people. And then Chase McClellan, obviously major name from Alabama. I put him in this because I think he's more of a Dave Perry type guy. I think he's more of a round five, round six guy. He's got good athleticism, movement skills. He's got good footwork, agility, cutting ability, and elusiveness. Good vision and patience, good play strength, above average receiving skills. But I think he's going to be part of a committee at the next level. He never stood out like a lot of these Alabama running backs have. I think he's good. I think in this draft class and in the way the running backs are viewed, that's going to put him somewhere in Dave Perry in that round five, round six range. And then if we talk about my last tier, tier five, we're talking late round or UDFA selections in the NFL draft. We're talking late round or watch list in dynasty rookie drafts. We're talking depth piece or practice squad running back to start. Some solid trades can stabilize the backfield in case of an emergency, but most likely are not long-term solutions. They also include players with limited exposures to make a full, true determination at this point. Guys who are in my last running back, and I'm not going to go through all of them like I've been doing for the previous tiers. Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Mississippi, obviously son of Frank Gore. Keldon Milton out of Georgia. Carson Steele out of UCLA. Kamani Vidal out of Troy. Mayan Williams out of Ohio State. Deshaun Fenwick out of Oregon State. Blake Watson out of Memphis. Jaden Sheerden out of Monmouth, Aiden Robbins out of BYU, and John Emery out of LSU. Guys that I'm most intrigued with in that are towards the top of that tier. Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Mississippi. Good natural run instincts, good footwork, play speed, ability to make people miss. I like Frank Gore Jr. I think he's going to be a guy that gets drafted. Whether it's round six, whether it's round seven, I think that's what we're kind of looking at for Frank Gore. But for me, it's his footwork, change of direction, agility, and elusiveness. That's what makes him good natural vision and patience. To me, he can be a weapon as a runner and a receiver out of the backfield. There's some size concerns, level of competition concerns, not going to be a guy that shows a lot of power at the next level. And then Keldon Milton, obviously former big-time recruit, is going to be a guy that was always a Debbie darling. He's an average athlete, though. Like, for him, it's about his power, physicality. I think he's a north-south, in-between-the-tackles type runner. But I think the Georgia boost will kind of get him drafted there somewhere in the latter parts of the 2024 NFL draft. Carson Steele, really good athlete, wasn't even invited to the combine, so I think that kind of tells you he's going to be a little bit further down the board there. Kamani Vidal, I know he's got some people who like him out of Troy. Tested out as a better athlete than I thought he was, so that might help his calling card a little bit. Obviously, great collegiate production. If we round this out talking about some guys who may be tier jumpers, which we always like to talk about, I don't think anybody's jumping into tier one. That tier one means I think you can be somewhere taken in round one to the early portion of round two. I just don't see that happening. If I was going to guess who can make the highest jump up to be closest to the early portion of round two, it would be Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks, my number one or my number two, or Jalen Wright. I just don't see any of these guys pushing to that top 40, top 45 picks. I think around pick 50 is where we start the conversation about maybe thinking about a running back coming off the board. If we're looking at a potential tier jumper from tier three into that top five of my tier two, I would say it's probably, I think I would probably say it's Tyrann Tracy, a junior out of Purdue, only because he's such a unique offensive weapon. That if somebody's going to push his way in to that middle of round three mix unexpectedly, I think it would be Tyrann Tracy Jr. I don't think it's going to happen, but he would be my best bet. It would be him. It'd be a team falling in love with Garendo's measurables. I think those would be the two best opportunities to maybe jump a tier. I like Will Shipley and Ray Davis more, but I don't think those guys are jumping into the top, you know, middle of round two to middle of round three range. So I think the best guy who could maybe be a tier jumper would be Tyrone Tracy or Isaac Arendo. People are a little bit late to the party. I've watched some film on them. I still kind of want to watch some more because those weren't guys that I had been scouting since last summer like so many of these other guys. Talking about tier four, who could be a tier jumper in the tier three, I'd put that on Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State or Jason McClellan out of Alabama. I like Rasheed Ali most out of that tier, but I think the injury is going to set him back a little bit. So while I prefer Rasheed Ali the most, I think McClellan or Isaiah Davis could be that tier jumper that maybe pushes their way in to the round four mix. And then that last tier, my tier five, if a guy kind of jumps up a little bit into the next tier, to me it would be Frank Gore Jr. or Kendall Milton. I just think the pedigree, the name brand there for both of those guys, and both of them do have a couple intriguing calling cards. For Gore, his footwork, his agility, his make-and-miss ability, and Kendall Milton, his power, strength. Those would be two guys that I think could intrigue some teams and maybe be a tier jumper up to the following tier. But as I started this at the top, it's a very interesting running back group because I'm not sure a lot of people would have my five as their top five, and I'm not sure a lot of people would have the order I have it in. And then I think if you talk about the next group for me, my next tier, for me, it's technically tier three because I don't have anybody in tier one. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of consensus on ranking guys like Will Shipley, Ray Davis, Tyrone Tracy Jr., Braylon Allen, Isaac Arendo, Audrey Gastemi, and Bucky Irving. You're going to see those guys have them. You're going to see orders very mixed on these guys. And it comes back to what do you want? Do you want the receiving guy? Then you're probably bumping up Tyrone Tracy Jr. and Bucky Irving. You want the power physical guy. Well, then you're probably into Braylon Allen and Audrey Gastemi the most. So how you rank these guys, again, is what are you looking for? And I think the NFL teams will have these guys very mixed based on that as well in terms of what do they want? What do they have in their backfield? Are they looking for a complement to something they already have? Are they looking for a guy who fits their scheme, whether heavy zone, heavy gap? How does the running back mesh with the offensive lineman in terms of their best, in terms of what they do best? So I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in terms of the running backs coming off the board. It'd be interesting to see if we get any clarity in the next 5 weeks before the NFL draft. Do we get a little bit more light? Because I think right now we're really going dark. And I can't remember it being this dark at a position this close to the NFL draft. Like, we know the running backs that are in the wide receivers who are going to go in the top 5 to 7. We don't know the order after maybe the top 3, but we know who's probably going to be wide receiver 4 through like 10. In the running backs, I don't think we do. And that, I think the uncertainty starts right at the top. Who's RB1? Who's RB2? Who's RB3? Who's RB4? So it's going to be fun to kind of track these. It's going to be fun to pick the brains of other really great evaluators and other people in the industry, kind of to hear where they're at with this running back class. Because I bet you're going to hear some people who really love Audrey Gastemi still, or really like Bucky Irvin, and I guarantee you're going to see Braylon Allen on some people's top fives. And some people might not even have Tyrone Tracy or Isaac Arendo in their top 12 or top 15. I don't think that's impossible. So it's going to be fun to track these guys. It's going to be fun to see where they land. I don't think it's going to be fun for fantasy, I'll tell you that much. Because I think none of these guys are going to get drafted to these pristine situations where we can kind of bank on them being heavily involved right out of the gate. And if so, even so, some guys will end up in good situations, but what's the longevity of that? Like, is it another Damian Pierce situation? Is it another Michael Carter situation? I think so many of these guys are going to be taken in that round four range. It's not a lot of long-term stability. You go round one or early round two, yeah, you're probably going to have some leash and runway to be the guy for at least a couple years. But once you get past that, once you get into round three, round four, I think it's up for grabs in terms of you know, where you could be in terms of volume, in terms of the percentage of what you see sooner rather than later. I think it's much more debatable. And I think that makes things very tricky in the fantasy lens for sure. So there it is, guys. My running back tiers and rankings for the 2024 NFL Draft. This is the second Tier Buster show. If you missed it pre-combine, if I picked up any new people during the combine or free agency, and you want to hear all my thoughts on the quarterback position, why I have some concerns about J.J. McCarthy, who I like the most between, you know, after that, those top four guys, who are my guys on day three, go back and listen to the previous episode right before the combine preview, where I did the quarterback tiers and ranking show as well. Next up is going to be wide receivers and then tight ends. And then we will kind of spin this to get some people on to talk about these four positions as well and hear their takes. Because you guys have been hearing my takes on a lot of these players for a long time, whether it's last summer, you know, during the summer scouting series, whether it's for multiple years if these guys didn't come out. So it'll be fun to kind of finalize my tiers and rankings and then talk to some others in the industry and pick their brain a little bit in terms of what they see. If you're enjoying the content, please get over to website SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. Check out the premium content tab for $9.99. You can get access to all of our premium notebooks. You get the scouting notebook, which has almost 100 detailed scouting profiles, strengths, functional areas, developmental areas, how they win, NFL role, NFL scheme fit, fantasy spin. Then you get the rankings notebook, which has all our rankings updated in real time. It'll be where you find the tiers as well. I'm still updating 2023 Dynasty rookie rankings. I hope to do a mass update on the positional Dynasty overall rankings, especially with all the movement in free agency. If I don't get a chance to do that pre-draft, then soon after the draft, I'll do a massive update on the overall positional Dynasty rankings, incorporating the new rookies and obviously all the movement in free agency. And then in April, you get the draft projections notebook, which has tabs for every position, offense and defense, a snapshot of how they win and some developmental areas, their combine measurements, and then ranked in the order from everything I'm hearing, reading, and listening, gathering information and sourcing it from the best in the industry to try to project how I expect them to come off the board. We'll have a tab projecting who the 32 picks will be in the first round. We'll have a tab projecting who we think are going to be the picks in the first three rounds, and then another tab projecting who we think every single pick in the NFL draft will be. We've had a tremendous amount of success in the draft projections notebook. So please, if you've been a long-time listener but never purchased a notebook, please consider purchasing it. It is really helpful and helps us continue to do what we do here at Saturday to Sunday and make sure that we can continue to do it moving forward. If you've never purchased it, we do think you would enjoy it, so check it out. If you've purchased it in the past, we hope you consider purchasing it again. If you cannot make the purchase for $9.99, please, wherever you get to listen to your podcast, rate, review, subscribe. That helps us as well. We are also putting the podcast on our YouTube channel right now. So if you're someone who's on YouTube a lot, you can find us there as well and listen to the podcast over there. So on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.